Let's head to the Fidelity Communications Hotline and bring in Matt Jones from WholeHogSports.com. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you doing, man?
Wes, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. You buying in on this baseball team? How good is what's a high water mark for this team? That's our Culligan Water question of the day. How good can this team be?
Well, I think they can be really good. I mean, I think any time that you're leading the SEC midway through the season, you've got a chance to win the conference. They get some scheduling breaks this year where they don't have to play Florida. They don't have to play South Carolina. Didn't look like a big deal before the season, but they don't have to play Kentucky, who's in first place in the East right now. You know, they've played some of their tougher opponents already. When you think about Mississippi State has done well since it was swept here in Fayetteville. They've got LSU out of the way. And when you look at the back half of the schedule, I think you would say that Arkansas has got a chance of winning every series it plays. Now, I don't think that will happen, but I think it's got a chance to. And so I think the bar is really high for this team. SEC championship, I don't think, is out of the question at this point.
They are very fun to watch, no doubt about it. A lot of fans are buying in because of this offense. I mean, 1-9, it's so solid. I say there's every inning they have a chance to score. It doesn't matter where they are in the lineup. You look at, you know, some teams they play, and you're like, oh, here comes the 2-3-4 hitter. This is going to be a tough inning. For those pitchers going up against Arkansas, every single inning is tough, and I think that takes a toll on those guys.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that there's not a soft spot in the lineup. I mean, all you've got to do right now, Wes, is you look at the batting averages of this team, and Jax Biggers, who's their 9-hole hitter, has got the highest batting average on the team. And you've got Chad Spanberger, who's, you know, typically a 4 or 5-hole hitter in most lineups. He's hitting second. You've got a catcher of all positions who's hitting in the 300s. I think 314 is Grant Cook's average, and he leads the team in home runs. And I think he's first or second in RBIs. So it's a unique lineup, and I think it's a lineup where there just are no soft spots. And the nice thing about that is it seems on the nights when the pitching is not there, and there are going to be nights like that for Arkansas now and moving forward, both because the injuries to the starting pitchers they had early in the year and because there's a lack of depth in that bullpen, the nice thing for the Razorbacks is that they can always, it seems like, expect the offense to come through with a pretty good game. There are going to be some times like the Sunday against LSU or the Sunday against Rhode Island or that Friday night against Arizona where the offense don't get the bats going or doesn't get the bats going, but they've played – I think 37 games right now, and I can only think of a few times when the offense, you know, hasn't produced at a high level for them.
What do you think the chances are Arkansas hosts a regional?
Well, I think they're really good if they can win the division or finish top two in the division. Typically, the SEC is going to get 4 or 5 regional sites in a given year, and you know, there are going to be some years maybe where it gets 2 or 3, but those years are when you have down years in the league. I don't see this as a down year in the league. In the coaches poll right now, in the top 18 of that poll, 7 are from the SEC. So if you're bumping along there pretty good as a top 1, 2, 3 team in the league, as Arkansas has done throughout the course of this conference season, I think the chances are very good that they're going to host a regional. When you take into consideration the body of work, they've got some good non-conference wins. They played a really strong non-conference schedule. Teams like Louisiana Tech, Rhode Island, Arizona, Oklahoma State, those teams all really helped the RPI. They haven't played a lot of SWAC or MEAC teams. That's what typically brings down the RPI. I said a couple of weeks ago one of the best things that could have happened for them was that Grambling State's game was rained out here in Fayetteville. Grambling State typically is a bottom 20, 25 RPI team, and it drains your RPI, it drains your strength of schedule pretty significantly. Arkansas doesn't have that blemish on its RPI or strength of schedule right now, and so that was a good thing for them. And so I think that when you take into consideration that the league is good this year, they played a good non-conference schedule, if they can stay in the top probably 3 or 4 of the SEC standings, the past that they've shown of hosting it at Baum Stadium, whether it be a regional, super regional, they have strong crowds there. It's a good centrally located area, I think, for baseball. Would you consider that there's good teams, you know, in Texas and Oklahoma and Missouri and Kansas on any given year? Take all that in consideration. I think that they've got a strong chance to host.
What are the chances of being a national seed? What would they have to do?
Yeah, I think that they would have to be the SEC champion probably to be a national seed. I don't see that happening because of the way the bullpen is pitching right now. To be a national seed, you have to have a 12-11 loss type season. They're already at 8. I figure they'll lose, you know, at least probably 5, 7, 8 more at least, you know, over the back half of the season. Maybe 8's a high number. But there's a chance of that, given the schedule they play. I don't see them being a national seed. I think they would have to have they're going to have 55 games, probably like a 45-10, 43-12 type regular season to get to that point. And I just don't see that happening.
Does the RPI concern you at all at 18, or do you think that all kind of worked itself out through the rest of the SEC schedule?
Yeah, I think the RPI would hurt them from a national seed standpoint, but I do think that, you know, that'll kind of even itself out as the schedule goes along. I mean, they still go to Texas A&M. They have Ole Miss come in here, and I know Ole Miss is struggling a little bit. They go to Auburn this weekend. Auburn is just as big of a surprise in the SEC this year as Arkansas has been. Auburn was picked to finish last in the West, and they were tied for last in the West with Alabama in the preseason coaches poll. And the way Auburn has played this season, that's going to help them, especially if they can get a road win or two there in Auburn. The way that works in the RPI is that a home win is worth 0.7 points. A road win is worth almost twice as that, 1.3. And so they've got a chance to go on the road and win some games. I think 3 of their last 5 series are on the road, including against Auburn, as I said, Texas A&M, as I said. You know, both of those are good, strong teams that are going to be in contention to be in a regional at the end of the year. So I think the RPI is probably going to be something that would be a concern from them if they were in the mix to be a national seed. I don't think that's going to be a concern, though, at the end of the year if they're able to stay in the top, you know, handful of teams in the SEC and be in a regional consideration, regional discussion. I think that'll play itself out. Plus, you have to take into consideration the fact that they're going to play some of the better teams in the conference at the SEC tournament as well.
We're talking with Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com. Matt, what concerns you about this team? We've talked about a lot of the strengths, yeah, and the things that are going well. What are your worries?
Well, it has to be the bullpen, Wes, because of the way that they've let so many games either get away from them or get tight at the end, you know, especially on Sundays in the SEC or Saturday night in the LSU case when they let LSU come back from that 7-run deficit. You know, they were up 8 runs at Missouri, and I think they only ended up winning 9-8. So the bullpen is a concern. They don't really have that shut-you-down closer, although I think Jake Reindel might be going to give an opportunity to be that guy here over the back half of the conference season. He was used in a closer role against Georgia over the weekend. He looked really good in it. The week before, he came in against LSU when it was a 1-0 game, and he shut LSU down for about 5 2/3 innings. So I think that he's a guy that's going to get a chance there. The thing that I think has got to be the most frustrating for them is that the pitchers that they thought were going to be their shutdown back-end guys, Dominic Tacalini, Cannon Chadwick, that they've been very erratic in games. They hit a lot of batters. They throw wild pitches. They've had kind of a high walk rate in SEC play. And so that's got to be the concerning thing. But, you know, the thing that's kind of interesting that Arkansas is in first place is that they had those injuries to the pitching staff. They lost Keaton McKinney, who was probably going to be their Sunday starter. They lost Isaiah Campbell, who was going to be their Friday starter. And they lost Cody Scroggins, who the coaches told me in the preseason could be their closer. He suffered an elbow injury, and he had to have Tommy John surgery last month. And so those are 3 pitchers that they plan to get a lot of innings from. And you think if Isaiah Campbell could give them 6 or 7 on a weekend, and if Keaton McKinney could give them 6 or 7 on the weekend, and maybe Cody Scroggins could give them one or two. Now you're talking somewhere in the 16 to 18 inning range that they're having to count on from pitchers that they weren't necessarily thinking were going to be able to do that for them in the preseason. And so that, to me, is what is so fascinating about this team, is that they really don't have a strong pitching staff this year because of injuries, because of some inexperience, and yet they've been able to win so many games either by having a big offensive night, or they've had some games where their pitchers have had really good outings. And I'll tell you, one of the things that's really helped them has been the way that Blaine Knight and Trevor Stephan have pitched on Friday and Saturday. They go out, they give them 6, 7, 8 innings sometimes on a Friday night. That takes a lot of the pressure off the bullpen, you know, at the end of Saturday, at the end of Sunday, and that's helped them a lot too. But the bullpen has got to be the biggest concern for them right now, especially when you get into regional play, when you might have to play 4 or 5 games over a 3 or 4 day span.
Well, that's where I was going next, because it's great to have a 1-2 punch of Blaine Knight and Trevor Stephan, but at the very least, in a regional, if everything goes great for you, you've got to play 3 games. Is Loesch the key to this? We heard about him starting tonight, and Van Horn was even mentioned that he said, if you want to write it down this way, it's an audition. Are they getting to the point in the season when they're and look, Alberius has been great. You know what you're going to get out of him, 3, 4, 5 innings, and it gives your bats a chance to get out there and get a lead, and then you go to the bullpen by committee. But how important is it for them when you start thinking of a regional, maybe a super regional, and you split those first 2 games, and it's one game to go to Omaha? How important is it to find a guy they can depend on to be that number 3 starter?
Oh, I think they need to find it, no doubt about it. And I don't think it's going to be Alberius. Josh strikes me more as a setup guy who's, you know, in a starter role, but I don't think they necessarily expect him to get past about the 4th inning anytime that he goes out. You mentioned Barrett Loesch. I think he's an option. Rindle could still be an option. I said that they like him on the back end, but he does have a strong enough arm that he can go out and give you starter-type innings. And then I thought over the weekend, what they got from Kevin Copps had to be encouraging for them. He came in against Georgia in a tight situation, bases loaded, one out, one pitch, gets a double play, gets out of it. He goes 5 2/3 scoreless innings and shuts Georgia down for the rest of the game. Remember that Copps was, after the injuries at the beginning of the year, their Sunday starter for a couple of games in the non-conference season, and he struggled. And I think now you're seeing him start to develop some confidence where he could potentially become that number 3 guy. And so I think there are some options there, but with all of them, there's inexperience there. And at some point, you got to rip the Band-Aid off, and you got to let a freshman go out there and pitch for you in a tough situation. And I don't think that they're afraid to do that. I just think they're trying to figure out, you know, who's the freshman, who's the redshirt freshman, who's the inexperienced guy that's going to go out there and do that for us. They haven't figured that out yet.
Where does Taccolini fit in all this? He's just a head scratcher to me. You see him come in and 1, 2, 3, 3 strikeouts on one outing, and then the next outing he's walking people, hitting people, and you know, and he's got a track record where he's had some big time SEC performances, and he's a senior. You know, to me, if there was a guy to be a candidate for that number 3 guy, it would be Taccolini. But I don't know if they know if they can depend on him.
Yeah, sometimes it's an inning-to-inning thing. You know, he might look great in the seventh inning and come out and look completely different in the eighth. I don't know where he fits in. I think that there was hope at the beginning of the year that he was going to be the closer. I see him now more as a setup guy on a Friday night. You know, maybe they get 6, 7 innings out of Blaine Knight. You bring Taccolini in for an inning or two and see if he can get to whoever your closer is. That is the thing about this team is there doesn't seem to be a lot of defined roles with the pitching staff once you get past Friday and Saturday starters. So where does he fit? I think they're still trying to figure that out. Same goes for Cannon Chadwick, who they thought was going to be their closer. I think everything's still kind of in flux right now. You saw it change a little bit against Georgia in how they used those guys. Cannon Chadwick came in as a setup guy in one of those games. It'll be interesting to watch over the back half of the season for sure.
All right, we got Memphis tonight and tomorrow night. What do you know of Memphis? What do you expect? What are we going to see the next 2 nights?
You know, I really don't know just a whole lot about Memphis. I do know that they've given Arkansas some tighter games over the years. The fact that Arkansas is playing at home, playing in North Little Rock, they typically play well in those two stadiums. And I don't think Memphis is the type of team that's going to have that shutdown arm on Tuesday night. And so I would anticipate, given Arkansas's lack of pitching, just given what I anticipate to see, you know, the caliber of pitcher that I anticipate to see from Memphis tonight, I think it could be a couple of, you know, higher scoring games. But I would anticipate Arkansas comes out of these two games with no worse than a split. And the way Arkansas is playing right now, you have to think that they've got to be favored to win both of these games, especially given how hot they were last week at the plate and the series coming up against Auburn. I would anticipate that they're pretty locked in and focused on doing well tonight and trying to keep this momentum up going into that big series this weekend, because that's turned into the biggest series in the SEC probably all year when you consider the fact that Arkansas is in first place at the midway point and Auburn's at the tie for second.
We looked at the box score for Memphis when they played Arkansas State in the midweek game last time. They threw nine pitchers in the midweek game. You may see that tomorrow night with both teams. You may see a ton of pitchers tomorrow night.
And you may see it both games. That's typically how those midweek games go, is that, you know, you don't it's very rare for a team to have a guy who can go out on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night and give you six or seven innings. And so what it really turns into is a glorified bullpen session where about seven or eight, nine guys will come in. Think about Missouri State last week. There were 38 base runners and there were 16 pitchers used. But you wonder why the game went over 4 hours. And so I would anticipate that both of these games, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, are going to be probably pretty long nights at the ballpark.
Late nights. Good thing it starts at 6:30. Matt, thanks, man. We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Wes. Bye.